So our mortgage is due soon. Would the ushers come forward with the offering baskets? Oh, so good to be here. I do have a message for you, so bear with me today. God is extremely interested in your time alone with him. I'm not going to say anything that's rocket science today, but I really pray that the Holy Spirit buries this deep within your hearts, because it's really the single most important message I believe that you'll ever hear. I'm not saying that because I'm bringing it today. I've been desirous to bring this message to this church. And I just believe it's very important. The title of the message is Date Night with God. Date night. And, you know, God doesn't want a flimsy date. And you could say, you're talking about a personal prayer time, and you're talking about the fact that God wants to be alone with you. He wants you to, and the crux of the matter is, it's the answer to every issue that you will face in your life. Teenager, pre-teenager, it's the answer. And you could say, I'm wired for sound. I can't sit still for more than 15 minutes. There's no condemnation today. What he's looking more for you from you than anything is quality over quantity. There are some blessed saints of the Lord who can go into prayer closet for 3 hours. God bless them, but there's no condemnation today. What he's looking for from each of you is a quality time. And so God wants to spend time with you. You've got 15 minutes. Give him 15 minutes of quality. And focus. Could you say the word focus? Focus is so key. And one of the ways you're going to have to learn how to focus is turn to the right frequency. When you're dialing in the radio or the television, in other words, if I want the weather for today or tomorrow, I don't put on ESPN because that gives me sports. And the Weather Channel won't give me sports information that I look at every day. So I've got to turn to the right frequency. So when you're sitting there having a date with God, and Joyce Myers, I don't know what you think of her, but she put it so greatly. She says, this is what I do. You might want to look on YouTube, spending time with God. She'll sit there in her chair. She has the scriptures open. She's hanging out with God. And it's a quality time. And it's, you know that word, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight simply means take pleasure in. So if I'm hanging out with God, I need to learn how to take pleasure. And I don't want to come forth as condemning, because what happens is discipline turns to delight. I might have that worship team come back up at the end, that new song that you introduced. What's the name of it? That's the name of it. But it speaks about there's no better place to be than in your love, because what you realize after a while is our dependency on God will drive us to a place where I'm going to hook up with God and I'm going to have a date. I don't mean that in a frivolous way, but focus becomes so important. How many have ever heard of the actor Cary Grant? I don't expect the teenagers or the young adults, but at a time, even before me, you know, I'm surprised I'm not in a wheelchair yet, but even before me, there was a famous, well-known actor, the most popular actor on the planet. His name was Cary Grant. Somebody help me. Who's the most popular, famous male actor today? Anybody? Great question. There's no answer. Who is a popular male actor today? Brad Pitt is in the old school. Who? In the old folks' home. Pierce Brosnan? Brad Pitt? Well, there are guys that are popular actors, and this guy, Cary Grant, I don't even know why I read this, but this is a perfect illustration of focus and a quality time, whether it's 15 minutes, or maybe you're wired in such a way where it's not a problem for you to be there an hour with God. You know, Smith Wigglesworth raised the dead. He's long since gone, but he was a plumber from England, a simple man, but he did powerful things because he spent time with God. But listen to what he said. I never spent more than 15 minutes praying, guy who raised the dead, but I never went 15 minutes without praying. Another quote he had was, he said, I think praying for more than 30 minutes is a waste of time. Well, tell that to Martin Luther, who said this quote, I've got so much to do today, I've got to spend the first 3 hours of it in prayer. So you got different personality types, and it's cool. I got a niece, Hannah, who's wired for sound. She cannot sit still. She's 20 years old, just went into the Colorado mountains camping for 2 weeks. She just signed up for an EMT class. You can't keep track of her, but she loves the Lord. So I cannot fault her for the time, and it's different personality types. If you're a person that's got a high gear, I read this about Michael Jordan, the great basketball player. I know you've all heard of him. It said he would come into a room, and he'd sit for 5 minutes, and he'd have to get up. He'd walk around, he'd look up, because that's how God made him as a vessel. I've got a much lower gear. I can sit in God's presence longer. That's not good nor bad. That's just different. So we've got to date God. We've got to focus on him. We've got to give him quality. So if you've got 15 or 20 minutes, open up the scripture, draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. It'll be the key for you. It's the most fundamental, important thing you'll ever hear of in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. It's the answer and the key to all your issues in life. And God wants you to spend quality time with him. Now, one of the ways we focus is we've got to turn into the right frequency. When I was a kid, St. Joseph's of Brookfield, I was a good Catholic boy. I didn't dabble into the sacramental wine, but I was an altar boy. And I could not wait for snow days because I absolutely hated school. If I went back to school now in college, I would hate it then. I love taking correspondence courses. I love learning on my own, but I do not like school. And I hope you parents are getting upset with me because I know you've got a freedom day coming when that yellow school bus pulls out. But my wife loves school. Is that right? She couldn't wait to get back to school. And so, where was I? You don't know. I couldn't wait for snow day, so I turned to WINE. That was the call letters. That was the frequency of the radio station to let me know if the school was closed. So I had to turn into it. I couldn't turn into WLAD in Danbury. I had to turn into WINE in Brookfield because my school was in Brookfield, and I had to listen intently. Sometimes that information came right away. St. Joseph's of Brookfield will be canceled for today. We'll resume classes tomorrow. And I said, hallelujah, I wasn't even saved then. But I love snow days. But I had to turn into the right frequency. Again, when I want the weather for tomorrow, I don't put on ESPN. And when I want to see who won the Masters tournament in golf, I don't go to the Weather Channel. You got to turn into the right frequency. So focus. Can you say focus? Focus is so key. Because I can go there and sit through and sit 15 minutes, and my mind could be all over the planet. I could be thinking about if I'm a teenage boy, that hot girl in class. If I'm a teenage girl, I could think about the hot boy in class or whatever. My mind could be all over the place. But what helps me focus is putting on the right frequency. So I got to open up the Bible. If I want to, and now listen to me. I said focus. Could you say focus again? Focus is an act of your will. Cary Grant, a starlet who dated Cary Grant, said this about him. Now, there was many actresses that Cary Grant dated. He was incredibly handsome, and he had a lot of dates. He wanted to marry Sophia Loren, who probably you never heard of, but she was a beautiful Italian actress. Many people dated him. He was the highest paid actor of his day. I don't know if it was the 40s or the 50s, last century, during the horse and buggy era. But he had an opportunity to date a lot of hot, good-looking women. This one starlet who dated him said, when we sat in a restaurant, he looked across at me. This is a great illustration. Let the Holy Spirit bury it in your heart and mind. And let it be something to remember. When you hear the word date, think about quality time with God in focus. He would ask her during the time that he had spent with this actress. She said, I felt like the most important person in the room. He could have been like, you know, I'm Cary Grant or Brad Pitt or Pierce Brosnan. I'm the most handsome guy in the world. I'm the highest paid actor. You are so blessed to be with me. You're so fortunate to be in my presence. But no, Cary Grant treated the date, Mary, mom, like she was the most important thing. When he asked her something, he focused on her. He was interested in her. When you focus on God, it's not like what's on my mind. God, what's on your mind? And when you draw near to God, he draws near to you. And what is on his mind when you draw near to God is really what's on your mind. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. But it doesn't happen until you strike up that date with God. Discipline becomes a delight. I love that new song you introduced because there's no place I'd rather be. I don't know the lyrics, but this place of your love, because you come to a point where that's the treat. That's the best part. When do I get to go there again? So, and personality type again. You know, people will teach, could you not pray? Could you not tarry 1 hour? That's wonderful if you can do it. But it's personality type, and it's also lifestyle. One of the wonderful churches that Joe and I have been attended up in the Capital Region is in Schenectady. On Mother's Day, they had a panel of young moms, middle-aged moms, grandmothers, older moms, and they were just asking questions. It was in place of the sermon. And I was a little disappointed until the Holy Spirit took that and was using those people as vessels to proclaim truth and bury the Word of God in our hearts. And this young worship leader had these two cute blonde-headed little girls. She herself was not even 30. And so she had to adjust her prayer time to her particular lifestyle. My sister now is pushing 60. She has had 8 girls, so you know that's a busy household when you have 8 girls, but 5 of them are out of the house. She's at a time now where she can spread out the Bible on the kitchen table with my mom and just soak in his presence, draw near to him for maybe an hour or so. But there was a time where, because of lifestyle, so it's not just personality type, where I'm a Michael Jordan, I'm wired for sound, I can't sit still for 15 minutes. God says, I know how I made you. I knit you in your mother's womb. So give me 15 minutes of quality time. Focus. Could you say focus? What will help you focus is turning in the right frequency, which is the Word of God. Focus is an act of the will. Oh, I'm not an automated robot. I'm not one of these super spiritual guys. They just kind of got the halo. They got the glory of God. They got the long flowing robe. They go into their prayer closet, and they're just automatically drawn in. It's an act of your stinking will. Focus. What will help you focus, what will help you focus, is to soak in scriptures. Get that mind prepared. Get that heart prepared. And this byproduct of doing that is you build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So I not only prepare my mind to focus, as Cary Grant looked at that actress, tell me about your day, tell me about your career. He was really interested. What's on your mind? Not how great I am. Now, how much more, how great is Almighty God when we draw to him and says, Lori, what's on my mind is what's on your mind, but it only happens as you draw near to me and seek my face and focus. You only got 15 minutes. You'll be really surprised what happens after 15 minutes with God. How many of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit of God? A lot of you, a lot of you. What stirs that up is your time with God. And so God is looking for a quality time. You turn to the right frequency when you soak in scriptures. The Psalms are great. When you start to feed yourself, Pastor Bert works his tail off to get a good message. I worked hard today to get a good message. But if your Christianity is from Sunday to Sunday, it suffers greatly. He can't have a prayer life for you. It's not a substitutionary thing. He does his job as part of the fivefold ministry. He's done a great job to break ground. Pastor Bert's a pioneer. There are innovators who take what has already started and improve on it and move forward. But Pastor Bert's a pioneer. He's broken ground. I think he put up a lot of this place himself with the help of others. But he's marvelous, and he works hard to feed you, to lead you forward. But he can't live the Christian life for you. You say, well, I'm a teenager, and I'm going to wait till I'm older. Guess what? If you're a teenager and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are the church now. It's not, you're not the future church. You are the church. Everybody who got saved has been baptized in Christ, and you're a part of the church. And I'm very glad that you get opportunities to serve. I met a 19-year-old today whose her birthday is at Lauren. And she was praying for me like nobody's business. She wasn't trying to show off, but she has the Spirit of God in her, and she was praying for the anointing. I was like, there's a connection right there because she's the church. But it doesn't happen for Lauren, and it doesn't happen for me unless I myself have a date with God. I focus, I draw near, and the promise is draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Can we put Hebrews 11:6 up on the screen? I want to just look at a word. You guys can do word studies. It's just not people in the ministry, but anybody can do a word study. See that word diligently? Could you say diligently? All right, Lord, what does diligently mean? I'd really like to know. The scripture says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Yeah, God, I know you're here. I know that you exist. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Remember I said as you come in there, okay, it's my list of things, Lord, but more, Lord, what's on your mind? I worship you. I soak in scriptures. I seek your face. I focus because I've soaked in scriptures. I prepared my heart and mind. That allows me by the will, by my self-will, to focus more effectively and to draw near to you. And I say, what's on your mind? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When I look at diligently, one of the meanings of diligently is to search out. How many know when you search out for something, sometimes it doesn't happen in 5 seconds? When I tuned to WINE in Brookfield, Connecticut to see if St. Joseph's of Brookfield was canceled because of snow, sometimes I got that information in 5 seconds. Here's where focus is the key. Remember I said focus is an act of your will? It helps you to focus when you turn on the right frequency, when you soak your mind, prepare your heart and mind in scriptures. And that will allow you to focus, but sometimes the information doesn't come right away. Sometimes I get a short date with God, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, because something's percolating in my heart. Something's weighing on my mind. The scripture says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. In other words, life happens for all of us. You're not exempt, except the difference is we've got a go-to guy. His name is Almighty God. Jesus paid the price by his blood. I can enter his presence at any time. That becomes more effective as I draw near to him and he draws near to me as I focus to him because I've soaked my heart and mind in scriptures. I've turned to the right frequency and I'm about to hear from him. Can we go to the next scripture? For as many teenagers, preteens, adults, 90-year-old, 92-year-olds, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. This is where faith comes in. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. For without faith, we've all got faith. You sat down on this chair because you had faith that it was going to hold your weight. You trusted that. I can take that faith, that ability, which is inside the mind. It's the mind apparatus that believes. It's not my feet. It's not the heart organ. It's not my fingers. It's not my kneecaps. It's my mind. So that's why I want to prepare my mind with the Word of God because it helps me to focus. It builds my faith. Without faith, can you, this section here, just say, we all have faith. Go ahead.
We all have faith.
All you got to do is exercise. The strength of my faith is in perfect line with the time I spent in God's Word. So as I prepare my heart and mind to focus and to draw near to God, by the act of my will, bear with me, say the act of my will.
The act of my will.
I focus. What helps me to focus is I've got my heart and mind prepared by the Word of God. Whether it's one psalm, 6 verses, or 2 chapters, grab into large chunks of the scriptures. It's amazing. So there's no faith without the Word of God. These super spiritual guys who are, you see things happening for, well, it's everyday life. As things come up, you focus on him, and he will give you answers to your prayer. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, children of God. Sons isn't, it's a generic term. You were born again by the Spirit of God when you accepted Christ. I hate to do this, but how many on all sections have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? And if you haven't, there's no condemnation. But maybe the Spirit of God is tugging you today. And maybe you're realizing the reality of Christ. He is for you. And if the rain falls on the just and the unjust, maybe you want to be on this side of it, the just, because you have a go-to guy. And Jesus made the way. Josephine, could you look up Hebrews chapter 4? I want to read that. Jesus made the way, and then I'm going to have you read it, for us to enter his presence. But it's really up to you if you've got the Spirit of God activated in your heart, and that only happens as you draw near to God. You want to be different in your school. You want to stand strong against peer pressure? The only answer is the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter was a wimp. The Apostle Peter was a big-time wimp. And he said to Jesus, Jesus was going and spouting off about the fact, you know, in 3 days I'm gonna die. I'm going to be handed over to the Romans. And I'm going to be handed to the enemies. They're going to beat me. They're going to put me in the grave. And Peter was, he was just a boaster. And Jesus said about everything that was going to happen to him. And Peter's his right-hand guy. He said, that ain't going to happen, Jesus. They got to go through me. Far be it that this happened to you. And Jesus knew that he had to go to the cross because he was paying for the sins of mankind. He had to spill his blood as the perfect sacrifice. So he said, get thee behind me, Satan. And then he turns to Peter and says, you know, Peter, you're sticking up for me. Listen to this. You're sticking up for me, but you're going to deny you knew me 3 times. Peter's like, yeah, right. Because he was a macho guy, he was a big guy, he was a man's man. He had hands the size of my father-in-law, Louis. You ever see those hands? It was like a catcher's mitt. And he says, there's no way I would ever deny you. Well, Jesus said it because it came to pass. He wimped out. Jesus was handed over for crucifixion, and he's walking through the courtyard, and he looks over at Peter and on three different occasions says, wait, Peter, you're one of them. You're one of those followers. You're part of Jesus' crew. Peter said, no way. The second time, they said to him again, you're part of Jesus' crew. You're one of those Galileans. Your speech gives you up. You talk like him. You act like him. You walk like him. I've seen you with him. He said, not a chance. The third time he actually cursed. I don't know what he said, and I wouldn't repeat it at Bread of Life. But he cursed. He said, get out of here. So Jesus' prophecy, I'm making a point here. Jesus' prophecy that you're going to deny you knew me 3 times came to pass. Peter tried to do it on his own. Teenagers, you got to get this. You got to get this. Ask my wife how she survived public school, and she'll tell you this. Peter tried to do it on his own. And then the power of the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, and Peter was a lion. That was the difference in Peter. Peer pressure happens not only in these teenagers, but it happens in all of you in the office place. I heard one guy said he was retiring after 25 years of service. He was a Christian. He says, you know what? They never found out. Never found out what? That I was a Christian. I don't think you're getting it. I don't think you're getting it. One of the youth group names in Poughkeepsie years ago under Pastor Ryan McDowell was Go Public. Because you come into this room to get fed so you can go out there into the mission field. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not an extroverted guy who stands on the lunch table or on the break room with my Bible and says, repent. I don't think anybody should do that. I think they should see your behavior. And then Peter says, and then be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. Now, this is going all different directions, but approximately 20% of the body of Christ are soul winners, but 100% of the body of Christ needs to be witnesses. That only happens by the Holy Spirit. I've been working a temporary job for 2 years and 4 or 6 months. The only difference in me and them is the presence of God. Are you patting yourself on the back? No, it's called utter dependency. It's called drawing near to God so he will draw near to you. It's called having a date night with God. It's called focusing on him because what's on his mind is really what's on your mind. Things that weigh on you, focus, draw near. Some of you kids, young people, might be able to go an hour. That's awesome. There are people who have birthed revivals, Leonard Ravenhill and others in Azusa Street and Brownsville. I don't know what you think about the Pentecostal, but they literally would hours and weeks and months, because that's a calling. Intercessory prayer is a spiritual gift as much as any other spiritual gift. But each of you, God is wooing, God is drawing, and you want to be different? Spend time with him. Give him what you got. There's different personality types here. My wife buzzes in and buzzes out, and I said, did you really just do devotions? No condemnation. But it works for her. And I'll tell you, every morning she reads the Bible. She goes on her laptop, and she reads the Bible. Every year she reads the entire extent of the Bible. Give me an amount of time that usually takes each day. 15, 20 minutes. Then just before going to bed, for how long? How much? half hour, she talks with God. So that suits her, that works with her. She may have to make adjustments where she would pray a little bit in the morning and bring the Bible in at night. But that works for her. She's a witness. It gives her the power she needs to present herself, to work hard, and to be a light and a witness for Christ. So it's up to you. Start where you start. You start where you start, but it's the most important thing. I've got a bunch of notes that I'll never get to today, and I know you're saying secretly, hallelujah, but it's the most important thing I could say to you today. And when you think of Pierce Brosnan, or you think of Brad Pitt or Cary Grant you never heard of, and you think about dating, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Is there reason for delay? There's real good reason, India, for delay of my life, 2 years and 4 months or 6 months, because I want a church. I want it really stinking bad. And as I look back over that time, I understand that it's the counsel of his will. I know he knows exactly what he's doing. So am I going too long, Lord? Or sound man? Somebody's going like this. My father-in-law, he was like JoJo. My wife tells me, my father, Bill Pooley, who passed away last June, was a character. A lot of you in the room know him. He was one of the funniest men I've ever met. And I'm a lot like him. It doesn't come out as quickly with me, but I'm funny. I've got a sense of humor. And so I'm a lot like him. And my wife will tell people, I married Bill Pooley because I'm so much like him. This morning I was walking around and I'm thinking, I married Louis Clementi. Because she's cut from the same cloth. She's Italian, Roman, you know, the book of Mark, right? It's right to the point, it's right to the point, it's right to the point. You look at Matthew and it's longer, it's more expository, the parables are longer, it's more of a teaching book. Well, the Romans, just give it to me right now and give it to me short. Pastor Joe Iannone, same way. So the book of Mark was not as in-depth as the book of Matthew. Matthew was written to the Hebrew culture, the Hebrew people. That's why you'll see where it always says the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't say the kingdom of God because you couldn't say God to the Hebrew people. Now, Mark was written to the Italians, the Romans. It was right to the point. 16 chapters, just cut off the fat, just give me the meat. And my wife is like that, and I don't know why I got on this track, but it was some good stories, right? So it's what works for you. And I did marry my father-in-law in a sense because she's cut from the same cloth. And I have to embrace that. I can't change that about her. She will look at me and say, I cannot believe you can pray that long. We've got different gears. My mother-in-law has got a high gear. Hannah, my niece, has got a high gear. Whenever I would play with her as a 10, 12, 14-year-old, now she's 20, she would say, okay, what are we going to do next? It was always the next thing with her. The next challenge, and that's the way God made her. But I tell you what, Hannah loves the Lord. She's at International House of Prayer in Kansas City. She is growing by leaps and bounds. She's an intercessor. She's taken an EMT class. She took a survival class. It's always with her. What's next? Me? I like golf. I like playing golf. I like watching golf. I like watching a good movie. Once in a while, we go to the movies and watch it on the big screen. We like taking road trips. My needs are much less than her. We were going to a wedding for my niece Kelly, and Kelly had this big, sprawling outdoor wedding. It was so much fun. She had bales of hay set around in a big square, and there was square dancing. Well, I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to square dance. I don't know how to square dance, but I want to participate. I want to have fun. So somebody the night before was teaching us basic moves of square dancing. I got the four basic moves, and I was cool. Just as long as I'm going to make a fool of myself tomorrow, I got it. Hannah's like, teach us some more, teach us some more, teach us some more. So the point is, some of us have higher gears, we're wound tight, and we've got to get in and get out, and I don't want to kill this to death, but whatever you got, teenager, draw near to him. He wants to date you. He wants you to take pleasure. Delight yourself in the Lord. Take pleasure. Let me put it in English. Take pleasure in the presence of. Enjoy his company. And you know what? Your desires will come forth. It's not a maybe thing. It's an absolute win situation. Take pleasure in the company of God. Ah, I can't do that. I can't do it. Trust me, it starts with discipline, and then it turns to delight. You'll have the power and the anointing you need to sing. I said yesterday at a baby dedication, how do we preach the gospel? Because Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, I'm not good speaking. Well, we had a young girl who was 16 on the piano. Katie, she was playing for this baby dedication, beautiful services. Katie preaches the gospel by playing and singing that piano. Some people may preach the gospel by construction. The point is we're part of the purposes of God to propagate the good news of Jesus Christ and to build a kingdom. Jordan was telling me what a successful outreach they had with Mega Sports Camp. Over 100 kids. Whoever was involved in that was preaching the gospel. Some of you can't take this microphone and preach the gospel, but you preach the gospel by the gifts God has invested in you. Discover what they are. And that's where you find contentment. 85% of the world is discontent. But the church shouldn't be discontent. Try stuff. Be filled with the Spirit of God. See how He wants to plug you in. I'm going to bring this to a close. I got another half hour, but I wouldn't do that to you. God brings you directions, as many people prayed in there, that God would have His way. And happened yesterday. I was preaching the gospel at a baby dedication with 40 people. It's okay. That's the way it's going to go. And God knew you were going to sit here today on August 30th, 2015, and He knew each of you had to hear this message. You know, when I preached a couple of years ago, it was God's love language. I still have people coming up to me telling me the content of that message. You know, God, we each have a love language as a person, and God's love language is obedience. When He tells you to do something, do it. And we have examples in the Bible where that didn't happen with Saul in the book of Samuel. So it's good to hear a title like that, and the Holy Spirit just kind of burns it in your brain and sinks it in your heart. And I hope that that has happened today. God's love language, obedience. Date night with God, what's on your mind? Because what's on His mind, and I only know what's on His mind when I seek Him and I draw, and that could happen as short as 15 minutes. I said I was going to finish, forgive me for lying, on Super Bowl Sunday, just to give you an illustration. Sometimes the date is short. Super Bowl Sunday, I drive to get pizza. My wife and I do Super Bowl together. She loves football as much as I do. When football comes on, she yells out, puts on her jet jersey, goes, "Football, Stevie!" I don't know why I said that. So anyway, I go on Super Bowl Sunday to pick up pizza. Our first car, I won't say craps out, it dies. I said it. Oops. My little red Hyundai Elantra dies on the way to get pizza. We got one more car. We got two cars. We watch the Super Bowl like at halftime or something like that. I get in our good car, and the transmission goes. Remember I said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them all? The NIV says that this one, my wife is raising her eyebrows again. This is what the NIV says. The righteous have many problems, but the Lord delivers them from all, or gives them answer for all. So that's the answer for each one. So the second car, the transmission goes. I know you can't believe this about JoJo, but she's freaking out a little bit for me to do something. I had to draw near to God really quick. I'm on the kitchen floor. She's, do this. We don't have any cars. I got to go to work. What are we going to do? And I just close my eyes, and I take about 5 or 7 minutes. And I get this idea to call a mechanic friend and ask him to let me have his minivan while our car is being fixed. We had that minivan for 17 days. It wouldn't have happened unless I focused on him. I had the ability to focus on him because the Word of God is in me all the time. I have to go back there and do it to refocus and to build my, prepare my heart and mind. But I focus on God, and He took care of our transmission. But you have, in one day, you lose both cars, and both of you got to go to work on Monday, and I want to watch the Super Bowl. He gave us a minivan. We got to watch the rest of the Super Bowl. Many are the rain falls on the just and the unjust equally. Life happens. But if you draw near to Him and focus what's on His mind, and sometimes it's a weekend excursion. I promise I'll finish with this story. Sometimes, no matter what your personality type, if you can pray 15 minutes or an hour, sometimes it's a weekend excursion with God. What I meant was, back in 88, I had to know what God wanted me to do, and I took 2 days of fasting and prayer. If you can do that at 15-minute clips or a half-hour clips, take a break, take a walk, whatever you've got to do, get some fresh air. But sometimes you have to take that time because the answer isn't going to come immediately. When I tuned into WINE and I'd get that information, St. Joseph's of Brookfield is closed for today, within 5 seconds, sometimes I had to listen intently for 15 minutes until I got the information. And sometimes it'll be like that for you. If you're serious with God and you want to know what He wants you to do, sometimes fasting and prayer is the way to get direction from God. So sometimes it's the 15 minutes, 10 minutes, like getting a car back. But at the end of those 2 days, the Lord started flooding my brain. I wasn't even thinking about youth ministry. All I was thinking was drawing near to God, soaking in Scripture. I had a brand new NIV study Bible that my sister gave me. I was newly saved after a year. I just got filled with the Spirit. I was drawing near to God. And after the second day in the afternoon, He started flooding my mind with ideas for youth ministry. I got involved in youth ministry, had to be as a full-time youth pastor and a worker, 12 to 15 years, but He was directing me. That's when it's a longer break. It's like a weekend excursion. So no matter what your personality type, if you can pray 15 minutes or an hour, sometimes you're going to have to take a little bit more time and dip in and draw near to Him, take a break, and have a longer date. Okay. God is good. And you know what? God is so faithful. He is so faithful. You guys are warriors. I proclaim it over your lives. You teenagers, you're warriors. You're going to kick tail for the kingdom of God. Whatever your gifts are, be filled with the Spirit of God. Learn to date Him. And it's not just one date that does it. You know, Jesus, at the end of the day, when He was in the boat and He was sleeping, He was tired. He had to replenish Himself. Sometimes He had to get away because even though He was all God, He was all man, and he went by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When He came out of the Jordan being baptized and the Spirit descended upon Him like His dove, that's when the ministry of Jesus Christ as a man began. He relied on the power of the Holy Spirit, and it came through spending time with His Heavenly Father. It's the same way with you all. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah.